You're listening to Pod for Ham, a podcast from The Incomparable that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time through the original Broadway cast recording. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track. Visit us on the web at pod4ham.com or follow us on Twitter at pod4ham.
Hamilton, the short-tempered protean creator of the Coast Guard, founder of the New York Post, ardently abuses cabinet post, destroy his reputation. Welcome, folks, to the Adams administration.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham, where we are still going track by track through the original cast album of Hamilton, an American musical. This week, we're talking about the Adams administration, in which John Adams gets confined to one term. I'm Monty Ashley.
I'm Elsa Shunnison-Henry.
And I'm Emily Nomenton.
This is the shortest song in the show, and it features Hamilton unwisely ending the political career of both John Adams and himself really quickly. What do you all think?
Really quickly.
It's not actually that inaccurate. Like,
no.
Adams really did call him a Creole bastard. And I will briefly say, my favorite thing in this song and one of my favorite things in the show is Jefferson, Hamilton's sworn enemy, saying, "Say what?
Say what?"
I like it when Jefferson is surprised at other people being mean to Hamilton.
It is interesting because I think part of it is also that Adams and Jefferson had a very sort of difficult relationship, and they only really repaired it toward the end of their lives. So it's sort of like, wait, you're being mean to other people in addition to me?
Well, I think one of the morals of this show is that the Founding Fathers all kind of hated each other all the time.
Yeah, they did.
Like, Jefferson respects Washington, but also, you know, Daddy's calling. He's not that thrilled with Washington.
I mean, Madison is going all, "This is great."
Madison's more practical than Jefferson here, I think.
Yes.
I need to brush up on my, read the Hamilton and brush up on my extra ex-Hamilton actual American history, because the best I've done is before Hamilton came out, I tried to watch the John Adams miniseries on HBO, but sure. I was so lost and confused. So now that Hamilton has enabled me to engage more in learning about the actual history of our country, I think I'm going to go back and give the John Adams miniseries another shot.
It's really good. I really appreciated it as a historian because it does illustrate a lot of facts of the era in really visceral ways.
I just, when I first started it, I had no context. I'm good at a lot of things. Knowing details of American history is not one of them. So I had the closed captions on and I was really trying, but honestly, like 7 minutes into the opening bit with Laura Linney and Paul Giamatti, I was like, all right, I'm out. I'm lost already. So now now that you gave us this song, Monty, I'm excited for the opportunity to watch and enjoy John Adams on HBO.
I admit, I have never watched a minute of it.
It's great.
I know it's great. Everything's great.
Yeah.
One thing I do appreciate about the sort of cut section of this song that's historically relevant is that in the footnotes, Lynn basically says, "I was going to make fun of Abigail Adams, and then I saw the audience react to what happened when I did that, and I didn't do that anymore because the audience was unhappy."
Oh,
yeah, that's worth mentioning. If you go on YouTube, you can hear a cut section of this song that's significantly longer than the surviving portion of this song, in which Hamilton just goes completely off on John Adams. I have a friend who's annoyed by that because he thinks that makes Hamilton look too heroic in this moment, because it really was very self-destructive of him to go public against the only other important member of his political party.
Very much so.
If you watch the thing on YouTube, you just come out going, "Yeah, that was great. Get him, Hamilton." At least I do.
And some people did feel that way. Some people were like, "Yes, please destroy this man."
It's so interesting because clearly the two of you are more engaged in American history than I am. So when I watch the cut song and they're just all sitting on the stage of I assume it's the Richard Rodgers Theater, but it might be the Public Theater.
I think it's probably the Public Theater, just because of how early it would have been.
And like Philippa Sue has short hair. When I watched that, my number one takeaway was just being mesmerized by Renee and Philippa, like just having such a good time singing together on the left of the screen.
Yeah, like I really love watching David there because for once he gets to lay back and watch Lynn do the verbal pyrotechnic.
The heavy lifting.
He's really enjoying watching. Yeah.
That was sweet.
And of course, this song contains one of the more obvious references to other Broadway musicals in the line, "Sit down, John, you fat
bleep.
Open up a window."
I personally am not a huge fan of the show 1776. Listeners, listen to The Incomparable, episode 201 for more. I feel that it is cheating to have an entire song based on adverbs just because you have a character with the last name Lee.
Oh my God. That is an esoteric reference.
It's 100% accurate.
I require both saltpeter and pins from you now, Monty.
Oh.
The reason I believe that John Adams is actually barely mentioned in this show, despite being important to Hamilton historically, is that John Adams already has his entire own musical, so why should he get to screw around in this one?
It's amazing to watch the video, the YouTube video of that of Sit Down John from 1776, mm-hmm. and just look at the sea of white faces and then compare it to Hamilton. My mind was blown. And two of the guys in that, like one of them is from St. Elsewhere.
Yep.
The guy who plays Adams,
William Daniels.
William Daniels. The other guy is the guy from The White Shadow. Am I right?
Yeah.
Ken, I'm digging deep into my brain hole. So that was just cool to see them in that video. And then again, the contrast between the sea of white faces versus the sea of non-white faces.
And then we have the third musical in this sort of canon, which is Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which is also very white.
Is that a contemporary piece?
Yeah, that was made in the early 2010s, so about 5 years ago.
Because when I was first trying, one of my good friends, I kept trying to make her listen to Hamilton every time she got in my car, as I'm sure we all did.
Don't warn her what it is. Just start playing something and hope she'll say, "Oh, this is pretty. What is it?" And then you pounce.
And then the first few times she referenced it, she called it Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which I had never heard of, which was surprising because I fancy myself to be someone who's on top of pop culture and theatery stuff.
Yes, so and then that one is also very white, but it engages with the race issues of the era in a way that the other show did not.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have a soft spot for 1776, but not everyone does.
Many people like it. I'm kind of an outlier here. Also, I have only seen the movie, never seen it on stage, and I do not like the orchestrations in the movie at all.
Forgive my ignorance, Monty, but are you a professional? I know you're a writer, but are you also a professional performer?
No.
Okay.
I did some when I was very young, but since I left the San Diego Junior Theater, I have not.
I didn't, yeah. No, but professional, not the important distinction. I guess I meant to ask, are you currently doing performances?
No, unless you count the Incomparable Radio Theater of the Air.
Oh, yes, that counts.
I feel like I'm putting in a lot of comic book style footnotes telling people to go check out other chapters.
Yeah. Well, like this song, we are putting in a lot of footnotes.
Yes. I think it's interesting that just looking at the narrative of the song and taking out the cut section, what you have is Adams stepping over the line. You shouldn't call Alexander Hamilton a Creole bastard, for one thing. That's only 50% accurate. But he did that in private. Hamilton, characteristically, just stomps on the gas and publishes thousands of words in public attacking him.
Yep.
He will go nuts on you at a moment's notice. Lin-Manuel Miranda has a annotation on genius.com describing how Hamilton can't shut up, which I think is the key flaw in Hamilton, the guy, not the musical, that
he just can't keep his mouth shut ever.
Yep.
Or his pants. I mean, he just strikes me as being so full on, as the Australians would say, or like, so just, I don't want to diminish his intellect. And of course, this is 250 years ago, but I know guys like this. They're the life of the party. They're full of charisma. They ask forgiveness and not permission.
The analogy I've been using a lot in Pod for Ham is the internet, where some people will just disagree with you politely on Facebook, and some people, you come in, oh my God, it's another 500 words from this guy. Just stop.
Would Hamilton be a Bernie bro, and I would have to block him from my Facebook? Is that what you're saying?
You would certainly have to block him.
Would he be a mansplaining Bernie bro?
Yes.
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
He would certainly mansplain, but he would mansplain against absolutely everybody.
Okay. An equal opportunity. So he would be more of just a splainer.
Yeah.
We would call him a Hamilsplainer.
Points to you.
Like in his friends group on Facebook, it would be, you know, people go, oh God, he's Hamilsplaining again.
Yeah. This is an election year. I would certainly have muted him by this point, whatever side he was on.
There you go. Nicely put. Have you guys been involved in any Hamilton sing-alongs?
Yes.
Okay.
And impromptu ones, yes.
And what town are you in?
I'm in Seattle.
I'm in Morristown, New Jersey.
So I did an all-ages Hamilton sing-along last weekend. There was probably 400 people there. And boy, did those Hamil kids and Hamil tweens and teens love singing the next line. I mean, this was their chance to be sitting in a 500-seat theater with their parents and just yell out, sit down, John, you fat. You know, with their parents, like, fully endorsing them, you know.
I love that in the show it's bleeped out because profanity usually isn't. It just sounds even more aggressive with the beep happening. And then the sound, the background music kind of sounds like a bomb being dropped.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the song starts with Hamilton is on the outs. He no longer has Washington on his side. But by the end, he's destroyed everything.
Mm.
And Madison and Jefferson are saying, maybe we should take him out permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Which wouldn't have happened if he'd just shut up for once, Alexander.
You know, everyone wants to, not everyone, but when we were assigned this song, I was like, wah, wah. It's one of the sad trombone songs. But then you listen to it, and of course, like, it's freaking genius. I immediately learned a new word, the word protean. Second line. I had to Google that.
I knew it because of vampire role-playing.
Okay, good.
Me too.
A lot of my vocabulary is from role-playing games. Ask me what a dweomer is.
You both knew it from vampire role-playing.
Yeah, the clan Gangrel has a power called protean, which is what makes them turn animalistic.
Amazing.
Yep. Hi, I work in role-playing games.
Oh, that's what you, that's your job?
It's my one of my freelance jobs, yeah.
Got it. My mother used to work for a design company called Proteus, so now it all sort of makes sense.
Oh.
But anyway, my point is each one of the 46 songs are like my children. Right?
Yeah.
I don't ask me to say a favorite. And I appreciate the opportunity to dive back into this song. And this is appreciated because every song in this play is obviously so genius. Otherwise, you would not be doing a 46-episode podcast. And I salute you, fine sir.
Well, let's be clear. No individual is doing every track on our podcast.
Right.
Which helps a lot. Thanks for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy listening again next week. In fact, we don't just hope, we know.
Sit down, John, you fat mother!
Hamilton's out of control. This is great. He's out of power, he holds no office, and he just destroyed President John Adams, the only other significant member of his party.
Hamilton is a host unto himself. As long as he can hold a pen, he's a threat. Let's let him know what we know.